Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. And I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. I'm coming to you today live from the highway between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, Louisiana. I have done a lot of crazy things since I started my radio show several years ago, but this is definitely one of the craziest. I have to be in Florida for some events this weekend. And this afternoon, I thought, wow, I am going to be hitting the area between Baton Rouge and New Orleans right about the time our show is on today. And I thought that was kind of cosmic when you really think about it. Because I don't know about you, but I've been kind of wondering what it's like down here ever since Hurricane Katrina last year. And I can tell you now firsthand that these people are back on their feet. God bless them, I'll tell you, because, I mean, this traffic is out of control, and that is great. I love it. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about all of that, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that have been going on the past month. And I've been out to some different conferences and been exploring some different areas of the world that I think you might find quite interesting. But first up, I was just, you know, as I've been driving here, I have been thinking a lot about the whole Hurricane Katrina thing. And I guess, you know, I was not able to come down in the buses and help with the cleanup or anything. I mean, we had a lot of refugees. I live in Dallas, Texas, and so we had a ton of the refugees who came to live in our town, and me and my friends went down there, and we did the volunteer thing, you know, and, of course, we sent some money in. But I guess I've just been wondering, you know, like I said, what has it been like down here for these people? And I'm not actually going to get to stop and talk to any of them firsthand, but obviously this area, when we talk about, like, the energetic shifts that are going to be going on the planet, this is definitely an area of our country that has experienced probably the most profound energetic shift that in recent years, you know, other than maybe in New York. So pretty interesting when you think about it. And we can, you know, there was a lot of negativity that surrounded that in the media, but when you really look at it, I think there was a lot of positive things that came out of that. I mean, all of the people that came into Texas, I know, I mean, it just really gave people another opportunity to, you know, help their neighbors, lend a helping hand, show that maybe this society that we live in isn't really all about money after all, but maybe we really do care about each other. And I think that's all a good thing. And whatever the shift is here, which I would love to really, you know, tune in, I just wonder what, you've got to know, like, when people go through any kind of a crisis, and you may have been through crisis yourself, that it causes you to totally reevaluate the way you're looking at your life. And I can only imagine that there's been a lot of that going on around here. Several months ago, I was flying up to Virginia Beach to go up to the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and I sat next to this really great woman on the plane, and she was from Virginia Beach, but she had come from Louisiana, and she said that she went down there 2 days before Hurricane Katrina hit, and her mother and her were in there. She was in her mother's house, and the home was hit, and she ended up breaking both of her legs. And so she had been stranded there for, you know, about 6 months later. And so for the first time, she was going to be able to go home and go back to work, because she just basically had to stay in Louisiana and recuperate. And so she was concerned about her mother, who had some health issues, and she was trying to figure out how she was going to get her mother moved back up north. But her mother, of course, didn't want to leave and everything. And that's the other whole thing, I guess, you know, you've heard about it, I'm sure, on the news. What's going on around here right now is just trying to rebuild. They need enough people down here so that they could start rebuilding the place. And at first, I think that was probably a challenge. But like I told you just a minute ago, man, there's a lot of traffic out here. And so I can assure you that I think New Orleans is on the mend, and whatever came out of that shift, I can only pray that it was positive. And I think in the long run and in the big picture, it's all going to work out just fine. So, anyway, on to other things. The other thing I wanted to chat with you about is some of the places I've been, the people I've been meeting lately have been absolutely amazing. I went out last month to that conference, that international conference on science and consciousness out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you may have been listening to Beyond Reality on PBS Radio, to some of the archives. We've got interviews with Dan Millman, who was at the conference. He did a really great program. Fred Allen Wolf was there, and oh my gosh, he is so funny. If you ever get a chance to see him, you need to go out and see him. He had a wonderful presentation. He's got a really dry and funny sense of humor. It was just really, really a great program. And who else was there? Greg Braden was there. He's been on Beyond Reality several times. He had a really neat, new, interactive presentation. He's got a new book out that we talked about on BBS Radio called Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer. I think it's one of the best books he's ever done. And Dan Millman's new book, Journeys of Socrates, is absolutely one of the best reads that I have read in many, many years. So make sure you pick that up. But anyway, so it was a really good conference. William Tiller was there, also from the movie What the Believe. He's the one with the long beard. He's a really smart physicist. He was incredible. So that was a very good trip. And then I went up to the northwest. I went to Seattle and Portland and did some workshops there. And then where I went that I have to tell you about was I went down to Mexico, and I went straight from Seattle down there. And what I was doing was I went to Mexico City, and this Mexico City apparently is the largest city in the world. They have 26 million people living in there, and I thought it was one of the most amazing places that I have ever been in my life. I haven't done this since I was a young kid, but I wanted to stay at one of these backpack places because I looked it up on the internet and it's rated the number one hostel in North America, so I thought, I'm going to go stay in this place so that I can meet some interesting people. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you go in there and you end up, you share a room with some people. You end up having in my room we had like three bunk beds, so there's six girls living in this room. We have like communal bathroom and a communal area where everybody eats breakfast together, and you end up meeting the most incredible people from all over the world. My roommate was from Poland, and she'd been traveling around Mexico for a few months, and where this place was right in the center of the old part of Mexico City, and it's kind of like, well, it's called the Zocala, like Z-O-C-A-L-A, and they claim that this is the biggest town square in the world, with the exception of Red Square in Moscow. And so it's this big, giant, you know, cobblestone square, and on one end of the square is the presidential palace, where President Fox still runs his day-to-day operations. And in another part of the square was the Supreme Court. And then the other one is filled up with this giant shopping complex that has lots of restaurants in it and everything. It was really, really neat. And then in the fourth section of this downtown square was the Metropolitan Cathedral. And what was so amazing about this is when I was at that Science and Consciousness conference, one of the most interesting lectures that I went to was by Freddie Silva, and you may have heard of him. I am going to get him on this show in the next month, hopefully. I'm going to contact him and see if I can get him. You may have heard of Freddie Silva because he writes about crop circles. He's from Great Britain. And he did a really incredible presentation where he was talking about something that maybe you guys have already heard about, but just reminding me of it and putting it in a way that I thought was presented very, very well, about the fact that, you know, when you go around the world these days to different sacred sites and pyramids and temples, that a lot of those sites have actually disappeared, and modern-day churches and cathedrals are sitting on top of these things. And he was talking about, you know, well, you know, like if you you've heard about Sedona, you've heard about a lot of these vortexes around the world. I mean, I don't know, I think Machu Picchu, Peru is one, Sedona, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and even the place that I'm going this week to do some workshops this week in Pensacola, Florida, that's a big-time vortex. You know, that they're true, you know, and when we study these things, we know scientifically that there really are areas on our planet where the geomagnetic energies really are different. And whether, however it is you choose to perceive that, whether you want to go charge your crystals up or, you know, you meditate there and you get big visions and epiphanies about your life there or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, all of these energy centers affect us differently, but scientifically, we can absolutely see that there's something different going on in these places than what's going on in other parts of the world. And so the thing is, you know, the ancestors, let's talk about the ancestors for a minute, you know, the ancient ones, you know, they knew, I don't know, I mean, I kind of know how they knew. I mean, you know, you can feel the energy, but I would love to have been a fly on the wall. You know, well, or maybe I'll just go give myself a past life regression. I don't know. But, you know, it's so fascinating to think that, you know, a lot of these sacred pyramids really are, it's not just the fact that there's a pyramid sitting in there, but you know, if you've ever visited, like a lot of people in the United States, you go down to Cancun on one of your college weekends or whatever, and if you decide to get off the beach for a little while, you can take that bus ride up to that one called Chichen Itza, which is a really amazing Mayan pyramid out there. And so it's not, you know, and you think, wow, this is a really cool-looking pyramid. Well, yeah, but there's more to it than that, and you probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, there really are vibes there. And so the point of it is, so his point was that a lot of times, like, the Catholic Church would come along and, of course, build the church right on top of the old pyramid site. And he had just gotten them talking about this, and it was just so interesting. And so when I got to Mexico City, right in the center of the Zocalo is the Mexican Metropolitan Cathedral. And what's amazing about this cathedral is that right underneath the cathedral, you can see the ruins from the ancient Aztec pyramids. They've kind of excavated it around there, and so right next to it and literally right on the church walls and then all across the street in this huge complex, they have this amazing museum that you can visit called the Temple Museum. And what they said was exactly what he was talking about, that these people actually took the ancient Aztec pyramid apart and used the same brick to construct their cathedral. And so this cathedral, when you go inside of it, because I have this whole thing about visiting cathedrals in different parts of the world. I think I must have been, I'm a reincarnated Catholic, I guess. I don't participate in that in this life, thank God, but I just have a fascination with these Catholic cathedrals. And when you go inside the thing, architecturally I had read about it, you know, and they were talking about how it's been built on over many, many years. And in the 1500s, this Cardinal Zuringa lived there, and he's kind of the one who was in power during the apparitions of the Virgin de Guadalupe. I don't know if you all have heard about this, but right north of, not in the center of town, but up in the northern part of Mexico City, that's where they claim that the Virgin de Guadalupe made a miraculous visit there. And so, you know, it's another one of these amazing sacred pilgrimage sites. But anyway, but back to the temple. Okay. So the temple, the cathedral itself is made out of these bricks, and then right next to it, you can see where they dug out, and there are pyramids down there. I mean, they don't even know what all is going on down there. And then kind of behind it and to the south or whatever direction that is, then they've got the museum where you know, pay a couple dollars or whatever, and you go inside, and it's almost like the pyramids are underground now, and so they've built these kind of interesting wooden footbridges where you have to hang on to these ropes, and you walk in, and you just walk around on the footbridge, and you're able to then look down inside these ancient Aztec pyramids. And it was just absolutely fascinating. And then at the end of your little tour, which is basically outside, Then the little footbridge runs you right inside this museum where they have a lot of ancient artifacts and really, really interesting stuff in that museum. So if you ever get to Mexico City, which I'm telling you, you must go. Do you realize that I travel all over the world, and I am convinced that right here in our northern hemisphere is some of the greatest archaeological, architectural, and spiritual things probably in the world, and we don't even need to leave our own time zone to get there. I mean, it's so cheap to go down there, and it is so amazing. And I know a lot of people want to talk about the fact that, oh, Mexico City's dangerous, and, oh, you know, my God, what were you doing going down there by yourself, and you're staying in a backpacker's place? Are you out of your mind? Come on. You know, I want to say, what kind of a reality are you creating here? All of us are creating our reality with our thoughts, and I choose to know that wherever I go in the world, that all is well. And it'll be the same for you when you go there. So go check this out. I mean, you will not believe it. Now, the other thing that I did while I was there, that I have been wanting to see this for years, one of the largest pyramids in the world, next to the one in Cheops in Egypt, is sitting right there north of Mexico City. And you may not know this. It's called Teotihuacan, which don't even ask me how to spell that because I can't. But you can actually either take a tour to Teotihuacan on a bus, or you can do what I did and go the adventurous way. I went from the center of downtown, and I got a subway ticket, and I took the subway up to the northern part of Mexico City to this little subway stop called Northern Buses. And I hopped out, walked across the street to the bus station, and took a bus. This whole trip up to this place probably cost me $10. It was amazing. First of all, I do it just to see if I can pull it off. And because I don't really need a tour guide, I'm really mainly there for the vibe. You know what I mean? But if you're one who likes to go around and then have the tour guide explain the whole thing to you, that's fine. But I'd rather read about it in a book and then just go out there and just, you know, kind of vortex around and the energies. But anyway, so I took the subway, which is incredible because I just love the Mexican people. I love Central and South America. I love it. And I love just kind of immersing myself in the whole culture. And so if you ever go there, if you want to take the subway, I'm talking about, it cost me 2 pesos each way, which is about 2 cents to take the subway. It was 4 cents round trip. I mean, you just can't beat it. And then I got off and hopped on this bus. So they take you about, I'd say, an hour and a half north of Mexico City, which gives you a really excellent opportunity to see Mexico City. Because this is, like I said, they're telling me now this is the largest city in the world with 26 million people. So we went up north. It's a little bit like northeast of Mexico City. And there it is, out in the middle of nowhere. There is Teotihuacan and the pyramids, which in English we're calling the Temple of the Sun and the Temple of the Moon. But in addition to that, they had all these huge platform areas where the ancients used to perform all of these incredible rituals and things out there. This was one of, how do I explain this? I think that they claim that this was like the cradle of their civilization. Like, this was the first real city that ever formed anywhere in that area. And so there's a lot of ancient energy there, and it is absolutely amazing. You go through this little guard gate, and you kind of walk through the grounds, and then it kind of, I don't know, you kind of walk through this little gift store thing, and then all of a sudden you're kind of out in the middle of this thing. And at first I looked around, and these platforms are like the size of, like, maybe an elementary school building or something. You know, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. Just kind of like, like a elementary school or a junior high is kind of a flat roofed building. I mean, it almost looked like that. It had stairs on two sides of it. You could just walk up over the thing. So I was walking around, and I was thinking, okay, well, I guess that's the Temple of the Sun. Well, no, that wasn't even it yet. I had to walk another half a mile off to the other direction, and there it was. I mean, it was the biggest thing I've ever seen. And what's so fascinating is that they still let you climb the thing. Because I know if you go to Chichen Itza now, which is the one near Cancun, that's the Mayan temple. I was there many, many years ago, and I was able to climb up to the top of that. But now they're realizing that the turistas are kind of eroding the structure, and so they don't let you climb up that anymore. But amazingly, at the Temple of the Sun and the Moon, you can walk up those things. It was incredible. So I walked up the thing, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the altitude there was. It was about maybe 7,600 feet, which isn't really that high, but I was out of breath. Let's just put it that way. You definitely get your exercise. Climb on the top of that thing, and you can just look out over this incredible valley. And then I climbed down, and then you've got to walk at least another, I'd say a quarter of a mile, maybe, to get to the Temple of the Moon. I really like the Temple of the Sun, but I'll tell you what, man, I like the Temple of the Moon. I like the vibes of that one. I don't know what was going on, but it was one of those times where you kind of just know maybe you've been there before or something. So if you ever get a chance, I mean, I'm talking about just for pennies on your dollar, you can go down there and see some of the most, in my mind, amazing structures in the world that we have access to today. And you should definitely go before they decide to close this off to the touristas. But they claim that this structure was built by the ancient Aztecs. And then there's that whole story about how one of their gods told them that they needed to leave their current city in the north and to travel southward. And so when they traveled southward, they were told through prophecy that when they arrived at the new place where they were to start their civilization, that they would see an eagle. And so when they got there, they saw this eagle perched on top of this cactus with a snake in its mouth. And this is really kind of from an ancient Aztec prophecy. And so that happened to be in the site, which we now call Mexico City. And so it was right on that very site where they built the temple, which happens to be the one in downtown Mexico City. So if you ever look at the Mexican flag and you see the eagle with the snake in its mouth, now you know that Mexico City, right there at that temple, that's where that really apparently happened. Now, how much is that mythology and how much is real? I don't know. I think it's all kind of tied up together, if you know what I mean. So anyway, but the point is, in his talk, Freddie Silver was getting into the whole discussion about crop circles and about the fact that the ancient ones seemed to understand where geomagnetic fields are in the planet. And he showed some interesting slides of some of the crop circles in England. And one of them, a crop circle showed up in this area where they had destroyed a church, and there had been a temple there before it, and it had been destroyed, and the crop circle kind of showed up right in the exact space where this thing had been. And so, you know, I don't know how many of you have really gotten into the whole crop circle thing, and to be honest, you know, it's not really something that I've looked into that much before. I mean, yeah, I've read the books and everything just like everybody else has, but I thought that his presentation was one of the most compelling, incredible that I had ever heard. And it makes you just really wonder about these things. You know, who and what is trying to communicate with us? Are we communicating with ourselves? Are the ancient ones coming? And what do these things mean? And all that kind of stuff. But clearly, I'm sure that if you're tuning into VBS Radio and you're listening to all of the wonderful programming that they have here, that you are aware, as many of us are, that there is a big shift in consciousness coming. And what does that mean to you and me? I don't know. Lately, I've had several people come into the office who are talking about just, they feel that lately the universe, the source, spirit has been showing them that there's certain things in their life that it's time they let go of. And I don't know if you fall into this category or not, but let's talk about that for a minute. You know, and even myself, I mean, there's been different things come up lately. I mean, what are we hanging on to, or what has spirit brought to us that we could look at and say, hey, I don't need that anymore. I graduated out of that program. I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to drag certain things around with me anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Are there things you're hanging on to, or have you been feeling like you're asked to let go of things lately? I mean, I'm talking about at least a half a dozen people who have told me this just in the last week. And I think the thing is that it's time for all of us to step into our power, realize what we've come here to do, and to just get on with it. Whatever that is. It's not our job. Actually, this is some stuff I was talking to some people about in the office last week. That it is not our job to change others. It is not our job to go on their journey for them. We can show them, we can suggest to them, but then they have to be the one to make the change, to take the responsibility. And the more that we attempt to help and assist where help and assistance are not needed, then that's just, we're turning around looking at them. Well, we need to be turning around and looking ahead to the road on our own path, you know, paying attention to our own thing and realizing we're not here to drag other people around. We're here to do our work. And there's a lot of this discussion about, you know, what is my purpose? I mean, that is like 95% of the people that come to me are asking me. I'm getting that I need to be doing something. I don't know what that is. What is my purpose? And I could speak to, you know, someone who came in recently. Well, when they found out the purpose, it wasn't exactly what they wanted to hear. Or I think people think it's going to be more complicated. What if your purpose is to love? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I think it's just really not as complicated as we're trying to make it. I don't think that life is as complicated as we are trying to make it. Period. And so why don't we just smell the roses, listen to that inner voice, take one step at a time, and just see how the universe is going to allow everything to unfold for us. You know, I mean, in times past, during hard times in my own life, and even people I talk to, I mean, don't you notice how no matter how hard things get for you or how hopeless they seem, if you just hang in there, it always turns around. You know that. I mean, I think we all have to go through some hard times, but the thing is, can we just hang in there and realize that it's going to turn around? And in that, just getting quiet, going within ourselves, and realizing that it's just one step at a time. Yes, we want to look forward, and that's obviously, I'm really into that, looking forward, seeing, feeling, knowing what would make us happiest in our life, but sometimes it comes down to just that one moment. At this moment, what can you be doing that would make you the happiest? A or B? And you can feel it in your heart. And you're saying, well, gosh, I can't feel that in my heart. Yes, you can, I promise you. If you really, really get quiet, and you really are still with it, you can feel this in your heart. You know whether you should be doing A or B. So make that decision and then just go do it. And then don't do what I do and others do and go, well, now that I'm doing B because that felt better, I wonder what A would have been like. I think I have finally, personally, gotten over that myself, is that nagging curiosity to know what if I had done the other thing that I did not choose. I think I was recently tested on this by the universe, and I feel that I'm happy to say I have personally graduated out of that program. I think there's always that part of us that wants to second guess our decision. The thing is, as long as we're following our heart and that which feels better to our physical body and our spirit, then how could we even possibly want to question it or become, you know, the curious cat. You know that old saying, curiosity killed the cat? Why do we always want to second guess ourselves? I mean, I think it's time that for a lot of people, I mean, I've been having tons of calls, the office people needing a session right away. They're saying all this stuff's going on, and I just think it's just another example of the universe just turning up the volume and asking us to step up to the plate. So when we follow our heart, we make these decisions, and we go for it, then just get down the path. And at the next moment, there's a choice, A or B, which one makes your heart feel better? Because you have the answers within you right now. And for those of you who believe in angels and guides and assistants and ascended masters and all that, which I do, then just know you're guided. Whether you're guided by your own higher self, your own higher mind and higher intelligence, whether an angel is floating down to help you, you are part of this big thing called life, and you are guided in every moment of every day. I know it, because I know I am. And when I slow down enough to listen, then life is becoming that eternal peace that I want. But that peace and that eternal bliss or whatever it is, isn't something that's out there. It's something that's in here, inside. And it's something that we can have right now. But how? I mean, you know, that seems to be the thing. I think people need to know how. And that, my friend, is what I am attempting to help others with as I learn it within myself. But it is a day-to-day process for each and every one of us. Does it mean meditating? Does it mean, you know, going out for a picnic? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the best thing. It's different for everybody. Helping people, doing what's right. I think everybody on this planet, at least at the core level, is probably doing the best they can. Or at least most people are doing the best they can. I think there's very few people who purposely set out to do bad things. Maybe they get a little twisted in the mind or something, but I think for the most part, most people are doing the best they can and they're trying to do the right thing. Or at least that's my little Pollyanna rose-colored glasses world that I live in. So come over to my world for a while. And then when we see places like our friends in New Orleans and all the things that they've been through, then we can just say, well, this was a hard time. But there's been some really beautiful things that have come out of that as we've been able to reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters out here and, you know, try to make this world a better place to live in. So, things to think about. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. I'm Shelley Kerr. I want to tell you now a little bit about some of the events that I've got coming up. This weekend, I will be in Pensacola, Florida, in Gulf Breeze, Florida, down on the Gulf Coast. As I said earlier, this place, I come to Pensacola at least 2 times a year because I think I'm in love with it. I love the people there, and I love the energy there. It has a beautiful beach, and the sand of the beach is made out of quartz crystal. Seriously, it's really, really nice. They used to have a lot of UFO sightings out there, too. They haven't had any in a while, but on Saturday, I'm going to be teaching a gemstone healing class out at Inspiration Bookstore in Pensacola, and then on Sunday, speaking of UFOs, I'm going to be speaking at a group called Unlimited Horizons, and I speak there at least once a year. This is kind of a big UFO group. the mailing list, the President Allen had the mailing list that goes all over the United States, so people come in from all over the country for this thing. And if you would like to visit it online, it's unlimited-horizon.org. And you can also see a link to Unlimited Horizons off of my website at www.galactichealing.org. So anyway, they have about, there will be at least 200 or 300 people there, and one of them is Donald Ware, who, if you guys watched that Peter Jennings UFO special, Don Ware was on that UFO special. Because he was, I can't remember, but one of the early documented famous UFO cases was about Don, and he is the coolest guy in the world. And he's done all this research, and really amazing. And the whole group down there is wonderful. So Sunday we're going to be doing a workshop. It will be 3 hours. Talking about some of the things that we're talking about today, you know, what am I here for? What kind of life am I creating for myself? What things are blocking me from creating that? And then I'm going to talk to the group about some of the research that I've done in genetic memories, because I don't know if you realize this or not, but scientists are now saying, like, I'm talking about normal people scientists, not the woo-woos, but the normal people are saying that maybe 20% of the way you feel today is because of your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, that this isn't even about you. You know that whole thing about, oh, it's all about me. Well, you know what? Maybe it isn't. Maybe at least 20% of it is all about your family. And for several years, from time to time, I have been doing work with people where we don't take them into their own past lives, but we take them back in time through their genealogical history to the history of your ancestors. You know, we were talking about the ancestors earlier. Well, guess what? You've got them too. And I can actually take you back through history of your ancestors, either on mother or father's side. And you can go back there, and sometimes there's something there that needs clearing, and when that gets cleared, oh, I'm relaxed. Anyway, what happens is, I mean, it causes these huge energetic shifts in people. And it's really, really incredible work. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to do some exercises with the group about clearing off some genealogical stuff. Now, what's amazing about this work, you think there's no way I could actually go experience that stuff, but oh, yes, you can. I mean, it's like all of a sudden you're zapped out in some place. And people will see, they'll be standing in a scene. It's the same way they're standing in a past life scene. And when I ask them, well, who is this? And they'll say, well, that's my, you know, great, 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 great grandfather or whatever, you know, or this is an ancestor or whatever. I mean, they kind of know which one out of the group is related to them. And sure enough, there's something back there energetically that maybe has caused an illness that could be getting passed down from generation to generation. I had somebody in the office last week, had her mother had emphysema, and she was also a smoker, and so she was wanting to quit smoking and was concerned about certainly not wanting to pick up any of that energy. And so we went back in the past to some lifetime, I can't even remember, maybe the 1400s or 1500s in the ancestors' history, where the ancestors were caught in a fire that was, like, you know, doing things to their lungs. I mean, it's interesting work. And when we cleared it, I mean, she just had a total energetic shift. It's amazing. And see, this is the whole thing about what I've been talking to people about in my books. It's that my theory is that if your ancestors are causing 20% of what you're going through, I'm going to tell you that at least another 20% of how you feel today isn't even about you at all either. It's not about your ancestors. It's about the people who you're around. Yeah. Big time. You went to work today, and you had a bunch of people maybe coming into your cubicle or whatever they were doing, bugging you, or you went to the mall and you were trying to try on some clothes, and all of that energy and all of those people around you, believe it or not, are affecting you because we're all connected. And so the thing is, sometimes, I mean, haven't you had this happen? I know you've had this happen. You're walking into a room, you feel like a million bucks, you've got all this energy. By the time you're done walking through the room, you're going, oh my God, I've got a headache and I need to go sit down. I'm going to pass out. Or I feel grouchy, or I'm going to cry, or I mean, I don't know. Surely you've had this happen or something like this. Or you felt good and then you just felt tired. I mean, maybe it was less, maybe it was kind of more subtle than what I'm talking about. But I know everybody out there's had that happen. And what is that about? It's about you picking up on the energy of the people around you. And that's another whole ball of wax. I mean, all the techniques that we use to clear our own energy fields, you know, blessing others, cutting cords, putting lights around ourselves, and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that we're connected to everything and everyone. There is no such thing as time. All time is now. So when you go into the past, heal the ancestors, it definitely heals you, and then it heals everyone who comes after you. Do you realize that when you make a conscious decision to change, to grow, and to heal, and to just be willing to have the courage to take a look at yourself and change the way you're viewing your reality, that by doing that, you have healed all time? Do you realize that you've healed not only yourself, that you have, even by doing that, without even going into the genealogical stuff, you've healed all of the ancestors, and you're also going to heal all of those who come after you. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, everybody. And that's why it's so important, some of the things that we talk about on PBS Radio and on Beyond Reality Show and others, because it's time that we all take responsibility for ourselves, get in our little brains, recreate our reality, and start living the life we want just by being happy. If you would choose happiness today, then you will change the world. By being happy. You know that whole thing about, well, it's selfish for me to want happiness for myself above others. But you know what? When you're happy, that happiness is contagious. And that happiness goes out into the world. And so you're changing the world. It's that easy. Does it mean we can come drive buses down to Louisiana every time there's a disaster? No. We're just not available all the time to do those things. Or helping out. Of course we want to help out. We want to give time, money, energy. We can't always do all of that. And then we shouldn't sit around beating ourselves up over it, because the first thing that we need to do every morning is get up out of that bed and decide that we're going to be happy. We're going to take our own power. We're going to take responsibility for the way we feel about our life. And we're going to choose to be happy. And when you and I choose to be happy and choose to do that, then we're changing the world. I'm sure you've heard the studies that they do where they have people meditate, and I've told you before, I've been doing 10 minutes of meditation now for several years, and they do all kinds of studies. You've heard Deepak Chopra talk about it. Everybody talks about it. That when you get a bunch of people meditating or even praying, I mean, it wouldn't even matter. You know, what your religion is, what your thing is, whatever you're wanting to do, you call it prayer, meditation, Zen, whatever. That when you get into that state, that spiritual state, that they have proven that the crime rates go down within at least a couple square mile radius of where you're at. you know, there's less sirens going off, there's less chaos, less confusion. And all it does is it starts with that inner feeling of feeling peaceful and feeling happiness and joy and all of those kinds of things. So I guess the last thing I'd say is, you know, the problem with that too, though, is sometimes we don't even know anymore what's going to make us happy. Because we've been so programmed that we need to go out and take care of everybody else. And this is exactly what I was talking about earlier. There's a certain degree where we can take care of other people and we can help them. But when we help them to the detriment of taking care of ourselves, then we're really not helping anybody at all. We need to take time, you know, I think, to spend with ourselves. Think about the things that you used to enjoy when you were a kid. What did you like to do? What flavor of ice cream did you like? What's your favorite color, you know? Let it be all about you. Why don't you do that for just do that for the next 24 hours. I mean, I know things are going to come up, but just I want you to just try it. Just pretend for 24 hours that it's all about you. What do you want to eat for dinner tonight? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What would you enjoy?
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.